Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. And we're underway at 9:16, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And we're so glad to have in studio with me Beth Young from the Historical Society for Quincy and Adams County. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, Mary.
And we are also joined on the line by Beverly Valancourt, who's joining us via the telephone. Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning, Mary.
So glad to have you here along with Beth, and we're going to talk about a very special event that is coming up. So hang on the line with us, Beverly. Beth is going to introduce us, and then she's going to talk to you and hop right in there, and you can explain what this is all about. Beth, take it away.
Thank you, Mary, and thanks for asking us to be here today. Several years ago, I was thinking of a project, and I came up with an idea of involving Woodland Cemetery and the Civil War. And I didn't do anything about it, but then, and when COVID happened, I thought, well, now's the time. So I began talking with people, and what I thought would be a video project of maybe five people and 20 minutes has developed into a three video programs that cover the lives of 17 people. It's over 200 minutes long, and Beverly has done very great work trying to put all the things together. Jean Kay at the Historical Society and other volunteers and employees of the Historical Society have pulled this all together. It's designed for students, upper elementary, high school. It will include parochial and public school students, and we've been working with curriculum directors and administrators in the public-private school system.
Okay.
And I think Beverly can explain it better than I.
Okay,
she's done
Beverly.
Much of the work.
Take it away. How is this project developed, and tell us all about it, please.
Well, thank you. It began with a project called Voices of the Civil War that I developed for the Sauk County Historical Society, of which I'm a board member. And I've been an educator all my life and very much interested in history education. And I understand that kids learn really well through video, and the retention rate is quite high through video. So, and I'm a huge proponent of primary source documents and kids learning through primary source documents. And so I did this project, and Beth became aware of it and invited me down to Woodland Cemetery, pointed out several tombstones and said, these would be really interesting people to talk about. And it became really apparent that they were incredibly interesting, and just a 1 or 2 minute discussion of each one of them would not be enough. And so we divided those individuals into three different groups, one of which would be the Civil War, which includes one sailor and six soldiers. And another group would be what I call the Architects of Change, which include people not only Governor Wood, but also and Orville Hickman Browning, but also individuals like Candace Reed and Cornelius Volk. And then the last group are pioneers in medicine, and this includes Mother Liebrich and Damrell Everett and some other individuals who were really impactful in the development of medicine and medical innovations and medical advocacy. And so it has been an incredible honor to do these videos. I've learned so much. I've gained such an incredible appreciation for Quincy, not only as a community, but also as a community of courage. And then it kind of morphed into being asked to do the video for the City of Refuge Sympathy and Concert that happened a couple weeks ago. So Quincy is an amazing community. It's got an amazing history, and it's one that I think reflects who we really are as human beings and truly the definition of humanity.
Well, thank you for that. That is quite nice words there from Beverly Valancourt. Can you go into maybe depth about one of the people, one of the 17 people that you have outlined in this video, just to give folks listening to WT80 Radio, how did you pick out the people? And tell us a little bit about one of your favorite people that you may have picked out to be one of these 17 buried in Woodland Cemetery who are featured on this video.
Well, it's hard to pick one. And I should also mention, too, that as part of this video series, I put together a teacher resource guide for each one. that includes about 70 pages of primary source documents that the teachers can use then to help kids dive into reading and do a lot of very deep critical thinking.
And these guys are just amazing. As a retired teacher, I mean, she has outdone, I mean, Kim Dinkeller, Mark McDowell, the different people in education we've worked with are impressed.
Good. Well, we need that because a lot of these kids today don't know about their own local history, and this is an important part of it. So I know it's hard to pick a favorite child, but is there one that comes to mind?
I got one.
Okay.
Now go with Beverly.
Okay. Well, I think that all of them are fascinating. You know, from Henry Nappi to Candace Reed to Mother Liebrich, all of them are fascinating. But what intrigues me most is the dedication of immigrants during the Civil War, because they did not have to volunteer to be in the Civil War, but they felt a dedication and loyalty to their adopted country. And one individual was William Shipley, who was an adopted child of Orville Hickman Browning. And he came from Prussia. He and his mother came from Prussia. And he was the first soldier from Quincy to die in the Civil War. And it's just the fact that he never thought not to volunteer, that this was something that he felt compelled to do. And you know, in doing the research for all these individuals, because I really took a deep dive into, and it was through the help of the Historical Society there in Quincy and Beth and Jean, took a deep dive into each one of these individuals. And in just reading about them and reading about William Shipley's commitment, his dedication to his community, his dedication to his adopted country, I think that speaks volumes for who this country is, what this country is, why people come to this country, and then their belief that there's really something important to fight for, and that whole sense of liberty and opportunity. So though he doesn't stand out as, you know, as a person who made a great impact in the lives of others, his life was cut quite short. I think he's incredibly impactful in the message that he sends to all of us with his commitment and his sacrifice.
Well, that is something that we need every child to learn and every adult to learn as well.
And if I could add, in terms of authenticity, we found a young man named A.J. Belko, a teenager, who will be attending John Wood next fall. His father, Steve Belko, from Quincy, Dr. Steve Belko. And he was selected to read the script or read the information that Beverly compiled about this young man in the Civil War. When we did the NAPIDE section in the Architects of Change, we were able, through Rob Mellon's efforts, to find a young man from Germany who had a nice German accent, which we thought would be appropriate for the Nappheid family.
This is fantastic. So one question I want to ask before we let Beverly go, how are we rolling this out, Beth and Beverly? How are people going to make this videos available to them? Will it only be in the schools, or is it something they can get through the Historical Society?
Eventually, it will be through the Historical Society's homepage. We're not quite ready yet to do that, but eventually, very soon, anybody will be able to call it up, you know, by going to that page. But it was designed for and aimed for education of our students, public and private.
Okay.
And we've also found, though, that we can use it, like, for speaker situations. If somebody would call in one a last-minute speaker because somebody's canceled, we will be able to plug them into these so that they can literally use one of these vignettes, the 17 vignettes.
A source of, this is our topic tonight.
Yeah.
And here are experts who have researched this and people who have been selected to portray the voice actors. So, Beverly, what's next for you? Are you done with the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County?
I hope not.
You know, I have to say, you know, we all have these defining moments in our lives, and working with Beth and the Historic Society and developing these videos, and especially watching the video play with the City of Refuge Symphony Orchestra on May 10th has truly been a defining moment in my life. And the commitment to history education, the dedication to helping kids understand who they are and where they are and why they are has really been quite something. And so I don't think you're done with me yet.
I don't think so either.
I hope that we continue to do other video projects, and I hope that this inspires other communities to reach out to individuals in their community and develop similar type projects so that all kids can understand the essence of their own community and why people came there and why people have spent their lives there, helping to grow their communities and help define the courage. And truly the word community has such a broad definition, but it takes every individual, every story is unique. Every person plays a role, plays a part. And just to bring that all together and gain an appreciation for it, I think is incredible. And I think the work of the Historic Society there is amazing. I think Beth and is a force to be reckoned with. When she has an idea, there's no turning back. And I just appreciate the dedication to understanding history and learning from history. So I hope that we continue this wonderful, wonderful partnership.
Well, Beverly, we'll say goodbye to you and that high note, and we hope to have you again as a guest on the Mary Griffith Show sometime in the future. You have a great day, and we will talk to you later.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so Beverly has other things to do today. Beth, we need to carry on and talk about some other things that are happening. Again, this video series will be available for students starting next fall, this fall, right?
Right.
And it'll be part of, there'll be curriculum aids so that if homeschool or anybody wants to use it, they certainly can. But there's a lot going on at the Historical Society, and July 19th is the next thing we need to talk about, so take it away.
Okay, July 19th, and then if we could circle back, I wanted to add one more thing about the video series. But July 19th, and credit for this goes entirely to Dr. Jim Jacobs. For months, he has kept saying that we really need to do something for the bicentennial, something that deals directly with John Quincy Adams, since the county and the city were named after him, and we used to have John's Park. It's going to happen, okay? We have several speakers on the 19th at the Armory here in Quincy who are going to talk about John Quincy Adams. Dr. Steve Belko from John Wood, I mentioned earlier, he's going to talk about the naming of the city and the county and John's Park in a short presentation. Brian Fox Ellis, who's been here for several of the Civil War symposia, he is going to portray, he does character portrayals, historic. He is going to portray John Adams, the father, and look at the life of his son, John Quincy. We have an author who has a well-received biography, John Quincy Adams, Reluctant Abolitionist. He will be with us. James Taylor, not the guitarist, but Dr. James Taylor, who was in charge of the Adams family papers at the Massachusetts Historical Society. He's going to talk to us about that experience and the going to work on the Louisa Adams papers. Louise Adams was John Quincy's wife. And Mark Cheatham from Cumberland University in Tennessee is going to talk about John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson, who apparently hated one another, so that ought to be an interesting discussion. reservations will be taken. The Javot Music Academy is going to present music during lunch. There will be no charge. We're working double time to try to, it'll be a light lunch, you know, nothing terribly fancy. We are also going to try to show at some point during the day a video which is coming from Quincy, Massachusetts, or Quincy, I guess, Massachusetts, outlining the Adams family home at that site.
Okay, so this is all going to be July 19th, hopefully free of charge. And if they want more information, they can go to the Historical Society website. July 4th, there's a Chautauqua. I know you want to mention that.
Yes. The Historical Society, we're trying to branch out and help people who ask for our help or, you know, try to find people who want our help. Maybe he's part of it, too. And Dr. Jacobs and I have been working with the people in Camp Point to help them come up with some speakers and things for their July celebration. And it's going to be super. And I guess Tim Jacobs and someone, Pat Doyle
will be here.
We'll be talking about that in the future. It's going to be a super event in Camp Point. So we hope you'll give it some attention and
mark your calendars now.
And it's free also. And General Grant, who's been here several times, is going to be there talking about moving his troops across Illinois. Tim Good, we helped them find how to get hold of him, and he's talking about the Lincoln assassination. He is recently retired from National Park Service, where he was most recently in charge of the Lincoln Home in Springfield. So they'll have a nice array of speakers. Okay.
And then a real quick mention, August 9th, the Victory Bells, a singing group that portray World War II singing, and they're usually based in New Orleans at the World War II Museum, right? They're
Absolutely.
Coming to Quincy.
And Rob Mellon is our specialist on this project. Well, he's our specialist on lots of projects. But it's a trio, and they perform all of the Andrews Sisters and do the boogie-woogie sound and stuff. They are, we think, we're getting the final parts of or we're finalizing it, I guess. The program will be at the 9th, on the 9th at the Community Theater at the Oakley Lindsay Center. And there will be a charge. We're not sure what. And we really, really, really work to have programming at no charge. But this is, we will have to charge.
Yeah, because you have, this is something very, very special.
They'll sing and entertain. And this is all done to help us remember VJ Day and the end of World War II.
The end of World War II. It's all coming up. So go to the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County website. We're out of time today for Beth Young, but they've got that wonderful video series about people that are buried in Woodland Cemetery, all these other activities, including the July 19th John Quincy Adams seminar. All this coming up. Learn more at the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County website. Stay tuned. We'll be back, and we're going to talk with Marion County Commissioner David Lomax. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Marion County Commissioner, David Lomax, is here. He's got a lot of things he probably wants to talk about, but welcome to the show.
Morning, Mary. Glad to have it.
Glad to be here with you. And you want to save Marion County people some money on their property taxes. At least that's what I think you're going to talk to us first up today about. What's going on?
Well, a couple of years ago, a lady that lived down around Lake of the Ozarks lived in the same house most all of her life. And, of course, we all know what property tax value or property values have done. And she's getting to where she almost couldn't afford to stay in her house because the taxes had gone up and up and up and up and up.
I feel her pain, yeah.
Yes, I do too. The legislature, in two consecutive sessions, Senate Bill 190 in the first round, 756 in the second, created, it's not a rebate or a abatement, but it's a tax freeze to keep your property taxes from going up any more than they already are. I would have liked to have had that several years ago.
Illinois had it for quite some time, and frankly, it is quite beneficial. Under certain conditions, your property tax is frozen. It never goes up, and that is great for older people who have a fixed income. Their income is not rising like their property values are. So now you have this in Marion County, but you've got to apply for it.
It's not automatic. You have to apply for it, and the deadline is the end of May. And it's real easy to do. There's a form on the county's website. It's on the collector. It's on the assessor. It's on the county coordinator. It's on all their websites. And there are also hard copy forms in the courthouse offices. And it's very simple. Prove that you own your house. Prove that you live where you say you live. Prove that you paid your taxes. And prove that you're over 62. So copy your driver's license, copy of your deed, copy of your tax bill. And it does have to be notarized because somebody has to say, yes, you really are who you say you are.
But
and
other than that,
that's
and
it.
There's no income guideline? Anybody
no.
over 62?
Anybody over 62.
That is different than Illinois, so that is fantastic.
And the state defined homestead as anything 5 acres or less. So unfortunately, if you've got a 3,000-acre farm, it doesn't abate all 3,000 acres. It only abates the 5 you live on. And then if you've already done it, last year, this started in January of 24. If you've already done that, then there's a renewal form, and it's a real easy one page. Are you still alive? Are you still over 62? Probably, if you were last time. And do you still live where you were, and did you pay the taxes? And check the boxes, attach a copy of your paid tax bill, and you're good to go for another year.
Now, David, you obviously called me to be on the show because you were concerned that there are some people who are eligible for this that are not taking advantage of it. It is hard to get the word out about this kind of thing. So how many people took advantage of it in the first year? And
not enough.
Not enough, right.
Yeah. We were, of course, the legislative session ends in May, and the lawyers had from May until August or so to figure it out, make sure all the hoops had been appropriately jumped through. So we opened it up, and then it was a very short period, only to the end of the year last time, and we really didn't get a lot of response, and there are still a lot of people saying, well, I don't understand what this is. And now we're a full year down the road, and okay, we opened it January 1st, it closes May 31st, get your paper in here.
Well, you
don't
know,
leave
this
money
is,
on the table.
This is unfortunately, there is a more natural distrust of government lately, and people are concerned. And so, but this is a chance to get the fact that you won't have to pay additional taxes. Anytime you say save money, don't pay taxes, people's ears usually perk up. So anyone over the age of 62 can get 5 acres that they live on, that that's their domicile, their primary domicile. They can get their property taxes frozen. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to pay the property tax. It just means it won't go up next year and the year after that and the year after that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So whatever you were paying,
that's
what you're paying. So if you think it's too high now, it's really going to be too high next year. So get in and get this done. No cost to do this. Just have the right paperwork.
Yeah, and if you don't have a copy of your deed, the recorder's office upstairs in the courthouse will gladly print you off one for like a buck. And
So it's really easy to do.
Yeah, it's not tough.
Now, let me ask you the flip side of the question, though. As a Marion County Commissioner, if property taxes are frozen, that means you're going to get less property tax eventually because
yes.
These people won't be paying the increases that everybody else is paying every year. How does that impact the Marion County budget and what you have money to spend on for services?
Well, like I said, if you've got a 3,000-acre farm, it's only your five.
Right.
The impact is actually pretty minimal. I don't recall exactly what percentage of the county revenues are property taxes, but it's less than half. It's primarily sales tax revenue.
Okay.
And yeah,
so this is just a way for people to stay in their homes when their best earning years are behind them.
Correct.
Yeah. And this is a problem for a lot of older people. So, folks, spread the word. You heard it with David Lomax on the Mary Griffith Show. Everybody's got until next Friday to get this in. And all you have to do is go to the courthouse. Can you do it in Hannibal and Palmyra?
Hannibal and Palmyra, or you can download them online off the website, print them. It took me longer to find a copy of the deed buried in the file cabinet and make a copy of it than it did to fill out anything else.
And if you don't want to dig through the file cabinet, just go to the recorder of deeds.
Just go to the recorder and
for a buck,
one.
They'll dig through their file cabinet and you can save yourself a lot of time. While I've got you here, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you if there was anything else you wanted to talk about in Marion County for just a few minutes for the good of the cause.
Going well. I looked at we look at tax revenues and okay, are we better than we were last year? And I'll look back about 3 years, and right now we're down a little bit in sales tax revenues, but we're coming into the tourist season, so it'll come up. Stuff's expensive. Actually, the biggest problem that we have is trying to budget, because when COVID hit, you couldn't just order a dump truck. Or a grader, and it would show up in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you don't have any idea what something's going to cost 8 months from now.
No.
Yeah. And that is a problem. Budgeting for all government agencies has become more problematic because all it is your best guess of how much revenue you're going to have coming in and how much you're going to spend. You really don't know those concrete answers because it's all speculated on what was done last year or the year before. But when things get out of whack, there is no last year to say
and
this is,
and you say, okay, in 2025 we're going to replace 3 dump trucks and 1 grader, and then you call the equipment dealer and say, well, we might be able to get you one by next March. Okay, now you're in 26, we're out of this budget year.
Yeah.
And the same way with the sheriff's department and patrol cars, and you're trying
to spend our tax dollars, but you can't because we can't buy anything. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
You know, it is hard because again, the need will be there. But you can't spend that money for something else this year. Okay, well, we can't buy the grader this year. Well, you can't spend the money on the grader this year because then you won't have it for next year. Yeah. So it's a little problematic.
The place that it really comes in, the sheriff's department guy scoops up a deer and totals a patrol car. Well, when can we get a patrol car? Well, probably 6 or 8 months from now. There's a dealer in Ankeny, Iowa that may have one.
Wow.
I'm like, ah.
Okay. Well, David Lomax.
The other thing that I will shamelessly plug is I'm the commander of the American Legion Post in Palmyra. Memorial Day services will be out at the Greenwood Cemetery, north end of Palmyra, 10 o'clock Monday morning. And Navy veteran and a later Civil Air Patrol veteran, Robert Harrison, will be the keynote speaker, and it's always a very moving ceremony.
Okay.
Glad to have you.
Keynote speaker, 10 o'clock, Greenwood Cemetery, Palmyra, on Monday, Memorial Day, Robert Harrison, the keynote speaker. Thank you, David. Thanks for being a listener to WTAD and keeping us in line in the morning.
I try.
Because if we misstep, David's always like, Mary, you may have misspoken there. Thank you. We appreciate it. Some people say, would that annoy you if somebody corrected you? I said, no, because if you keep saying the same thing wrong all the time, that's really annoying. I had a friend call me the other day. I don't mean to annoy you. I said, I'm annoyed, but not at you. I'm annoyed that this is happening. So you never are annoying. We always love to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Maria.
We've got to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative to see what's happening there. And then Mekki Kosin will tell us about German Fest. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, on this Friday, May 23rd. We have a triple header on the Mary Griffith Show this morning to talk about one of my favorite events, and that is German Fest, which is coming up the first full weekend of June at South Park. And Casey Dieters is here from the Sister City Commission. Good morning. Welcome to the Mary Griffith Show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Mekki has been delayed for some reason, but that's okay. You can do it.
I will do my best.
First, let's talk about the Sister City Commission. This is a special group that's been together for a long time, many decades, to make that special relationship between Hereford, Germany and Quincy, Illinois come to life and exchange students, exchange travelers, exchange ideas. But to do all that, you have to have some money. And taxpayer dollars are not that easy to come by. So this is a private festival open to the public, but it's a fundraiser.
Yes, it is. I say it's a foreign exchange student program that I have been very fortunate to be a part of myself and something that I am very passionate in. And I'm very glad that we've got this relationship established. We've had it for over 20 years now, and they're just so wonderful over there. And it's just great to keep it.
So we love visiting there, and they love visiting here, but that takes money.
Yes.
And so one of the things that this German Fest raises money for is $1,000 is given to the German programs at Notre Dame, at Quincy High. Quincy University uses some money, I'm sure. The money gets spread around to encourage these groups to travel and explore their sister city.
Yes, and we also have to have money for whenever our friends come over from Germany. I say we did just have a group come from our sister city, Hereford. So in order to be able to support not just our foreign exchange programs for us to go over there, we also need the money to be able to help provide over here.
Right, because we have to, you know, entertain them and feed them and house them and do all of those things that they do for us while
Nothing
we're over there.
Nothing is free, no.
Nothing is free, but it's a very beneficial. So let's talk about German Fest. It's a Friday and Saturday. Give me the dates because I always get them mixed up.
Yes, so it is June 6th. Friday, June 6th from 5 to 11, and June 7th from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. with Kinderplatz, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m.
The Kinderplatz will include the Quincy Children's Museum.
Mekki yes, it
just
will.
Got that signed on the dotted line yesterday, so there may be dinosaurs
yes.
roaming in South Park, and there'll
yes.
be all kinds of fun things for kids to do. This is not a new festival to Quincy. I think a lot of people are familiar with it. The great thing about it is you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The bands that are coming are the bands that were there last year. But
mm-hmm.
if you're saying, well, I've been there, done that, seen that, yeah, but they didn't play their whole repertoire last year.
No.
They didn't do all the dances that they were going to perform for us last year. Everything is going to be, there'll be some repeats, but it's just good old-fashioned fun. And where else can you hear that kind of traditional German music. And I love the name of one of the bands, The Worst.
Yes, The Worst Bavarian Band.
The Worst Bavarian Band, but Worst is W-U-R-S-T,
yes.
As in Bratwurst, not as in awful worst. Okay. So they'll be performing both Friday night and Saturday night, right?
Yes, both bands will be performing both Friday night and Saturday night. And then Weird Tons and Dance Group is also going to be performing in between there as well.
On both Friday and Saturday?
On both Friday and Saturday,
that
yes.
is so great because they are fun. These are the guys that carry the little kegs, the little mini kegs on their shoulders and still drink a beer, carry a keg, and still manage to dance with a pretty girl.
Yes, they're fascinating to watch, yes.
Their clothing is very accurate. And also, let's not forget, the dance floor is always open on the pavement there at South Park, and a lot of people really do enjoy getting out and dancing. The little kids love it.
They're fantastic with public engagement, and I have videos from last year of them dancing with everyone, and they're just so inclusive and so awesome to work with and to be able to see every year.
So you'll definitely want to get down and get your lawn chair propped up right there in front of the stage. But wait, there's more. You can't have German Fest without German food, and Mekki Kosin is a stickler that there is no such thing as German chocolate cake and no such thing as German potato salad, but she does know what is authentic German food.
Mm-hmm.
And are we having currywurst again this year?
I believe, yes, we will be having currywurst again this year. I know there's plenty of other items that have been discussed that are very traditional items that will be served at Hy-Vee Catering as well as Chuck's Grilling. And then I believe Melton's will also be offering schnitzel this year.
Really?
Yes.
You got to be kidding me. I can't wait. Pork schnitzel. That
yes.
is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The key to the whole thing is to have the authentic German recipe. And Mekki, trust me, she doesn't let anything unauthentic get out. Mm-hmm. She laughed. She said last year when he was trying to get the Hy-Vee guy to do currywurst, he said, I don't know. What are we going to do if we get stuck with all this stuff and nobody will eat it? And they ran out, you
yes.
know?
Yeah.
So hopefully they're making more this year. And again, the weather is... So it's so dependent on the weather. This is one of the few festivals that, thank God it's two nights, because hopefully if it rains out one night, you'll at least have one good night. But it's open. You're going to have it.
Honestly, we're there, rain or shine.
Right.
The only thing that can stop us is a storm. So
right, lightning. But there's the shelter house there at South Park. There's two shelter houses, actually,
yes.
where people could go in and take shelter and still continue to eat. There's plenty of picnic tables that are set up, so you don't have to bring your own lawn chairs if you don't want to. And in addition, there are other vendor groups that have little tents and pop-up tents and stuff
yes.
like that. So
see,
do you know much about that, Casey Dieters? I don't want to put
yes,
you on the spot.
No, see, we will also have, not only will we have Melton's there, and like I already said, Hy-Vee, but we are also going to have Underbrinks. They will be there this year, as well as Tri-State Snow Biz. I believe those are all of our different
vendors. And would that be a snow cone company?
Yes, that
okay.
would be snow cone.
And we know Underbrinks. You know, there are people who don't get Underbrinks because they can't get up that early in the morning. This will be a treat for people. What does Underbrinks bring? Are they bringing their usual fare? Or
they're bringing their Danishes for sure.
Oh.
I would say as well as some cookies.
They're always sold out by the time a lot of lazy people get up. There's no Danish to be found,
yes.
so they're going to make extra. So if you've never had an Underbrinks Danish, it's usually at 6 in the morning, but you can have one at 6 at night. How
yes.
great.
Yes.
How great. Oh, that's fantastic. Of course, something for all the kiddos. You know, there's the whole park is there, the whole recreation playland's there, plus the children's museum. It really is a family-friendly event.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Very family-friendly. And
yeah, and of course, that includes a special beer just for Quincy. And that's Heppenhesser? How do you say it? Mekki,
gosh.
You don't know either. Casey, you and I are in trouble. Without Mekki here, we'll never know what it means.
Goodness.
But it's a special beer that's brewed by Quincy Beer Brewing Company just for the German Fest.
Yes, so. I believe they're referring to it as the Herforder Pils.
Oh, the Herforder Pils?
I'm not entirely certain.
That's cool.
I might be speaking incorrectly.
There may be two. Herforder Pils sounds good.
I think it is only one.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's the one that they've had in the past, and
well,
I'm really bad at knowing what it's called.
Heppenwesser or something
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Whatever it is. Well, I tell you what. My family reunion is conjunctive with this, and we are having a beer tasting on Friday at Quincy Brewing Company, so that'll be fun. And then I'm sure we'll end our night probably at South Park, because my brother, who lives in Dallas, Texas, loves to come home. This is his favorite week, that first weekend in June, that June 5th and 6th, right? Or is it 6th and 7th?
6th and 7th.
6th and 7th.
Quincy Brewing is so wonderful to have with us, and they say they make such a great beer every year for us. It is fantastic.
It is fantastic, plus all the other adult beverages and everything. No admission to get into the park. Obviously, you'll pay for your own food. You'll pay for your beverage. And German Fest takes a portion of those proceeds. That's how you make money. But there'll be plenty of things to do. And if you want more information, there'll probably be a booth there where you can make a donation to the Sister City.
Yes.
This costs a lot of money to put this on.
It does. I say we also have some different items for you to be able to purchase. We've got t-shirts this year, some different hats and koozies and some different things. I believe we're going to have all of those different items for purchase set up at a table where we'll be checking IDs, of course, because
you get an armband, and that makes them know that you're legal to drink. So if they see you with the liquor in your hand, you have to have the armband displayed. No children.
Yes.
They're going to be very careful about that. And again, over in Germany, it's no big deal. All families go out to the taverns. All families go out to the beer halls. All families go to the festivals. And so, you know, people just keep it on the up and up. And I've really never seen any problems there. And the police presence is very good. And so it's a big family festival. Everything will be very family friendly. And, you know, you won't even know they're cussing if they're cussing in German. So the big long Alpine horn will probably be there and all the great stuff. So it is June 6th and 7th, Friday night, 5 to 11, Saturday, 3 to 11 with the children area in full force on Saturday. Please come out and support German Fest. Casey Dieters, thank you so very much. We'll have to have a currywurst together, okay?
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you here. Folks, that does it for another edition of the Mary Griffith Show. This week has flown by. There will be no Mary Griffith Show on Monday. I'll be here for the news, and so will Scott in the morning, but then we're going to have a special report from Fox News, so stay tuned for that.